and good morning to you, and welcome to the Deed of Inheritance program sponsored by Victory Christian Fellowship. And we are located in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. I sure hope that you're having a wonderful day today in the Lord and that you are experiencing God's goodness in, throughout this Christmas season as you continue to celebrate Jesus' birth. I know that this time of year we see a lot of things happening and discussions about whether or not it's a holiday or whether or not it's Christmas. Well, as a Christian, I think we should be pretty confident in knowing that this time of the year we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. So to us, it's Christmas. So I hope that you're having a wonderful time with family and friends as you celebrate the birth of Jesus. Well, we'd like you to know of a few things that we're doing here at our church to celebrate this season. And of course, tonight at 7 p.m. from 7 to 8, we will be having our Wednesday night refreshing service. And that is right here at our location at 695 East Ridge Road in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. And then this Sunday, if you have loved ones that are not saved and you'd like them to receive salvation, you'd like to know how to pray for them, how you as a Christian in the family could lead them to the Lord, this is the Sunday that you want to visit our church. And Pastor Doug's message this Sunday will be on how to win your loved ones to the Lord. So we would like to invite you to come at our service. It's at 10 a.m. And of course, we also will be putting that message online and that we will be having it uploaded to our website as soon as possible so that you can hear the message as well. So don't forget to visit us Sunday morning, 10 a.m. If you have anyone that's related to you that is not saved, it is our responsibility as Christians to win our family to the Lord and to teach them the gospel. So this will be a message that you can learn and find the scriptures and what the Bible says about that. Then, of course, this Friday night, if you are a Christian, this night is open only to Christians. If you are a Christian, we would like to invite you from 6 p.m. to midnight. We will be having prayer at our church, and the prayer is going to be specifically for our community and the region. We will be praying and worshiping God, and this is a night for the Lord. This isn't a night that we'll be setting aside to pray for anyone that's sick or anything like that that we have needs of, but this is worshiping God. So if you are available on Friday night, if your pastor is available, if the leaders in your church are available, please invite them to come. It's from 6 p.m. until midnight. We have more information on our website at www.vcfpa.org, or you may call us at 717-838-2033. Well, I hope that all of this information will be of use to you so that you could hook in where God is leading you and you could be part of what he's doing today. Let's pray before we get into the word. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you will open our hearts that we could hear what you have to say, that we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And may your revelation flow to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's Pastor Doug to bring the word of God.
Well, good morning. It is so good to be with you. And we thank you for tuning in to the Deed of Inheritance. This program will help you inherit God's promises and experience their benefits. Today, I want to talk to you about practicing supernatural principles. I'm going to be focusing on two principles that we can practice to actually do in our daily lives. These are practical, these are powerful, and these are potent in their effectiveness. You know, there are some other principles that we can live by, such as we can live in his laws and light. We can practice his principles. We can proclaim his promises. We can walk in his wisdom. We can worship his word. We can rejoice in righteousness. We can rest in his relationship. We can realize your redemption. We can glorify God. We can pray persistently, we can activate his anointing, and we can trash the traditions of men. Now, not all traditions are bad, but the man-made ones, they make the word of God ineffective. And I want to focus on two of these principles today. I want to focus on living in his laws and light and glorifying God. We're in a season where the birth of Jesus Christ is why the celebration is taking place during this time. We're growing closer to the day where we celebrate the birth of Christ. And it is so important to realize the reason for the season is Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with anything else. And the greatest thing that someone can have is to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So as we live in his laws and his light, you know, Jesus, when he was being tempted in the wilderness, he said in Matthew 4, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So we need to live by the word. What does it mean to live by the word? It means that we have to let the word of God be the standard of living and the rule that governs our thoughts, actions, and words. In other words, we should not live our lives by how we feel, by what our circumstances say, but we should live by what the word of God says. That's what it means when the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And we have to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to allow the word of God to govern the things we do, the things we say, the words we use, how we treat people, and how we capture our thoughts and what we think on. So Jesus made this point. He said, you know, bread is like a staple. And he was being tempted. He had not eaten anything for 40 days. And the devil was tempting him that if he was the Son of God, he should take stones and make them bread. And Jesus responded with the word. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Living does not consist of a physical realm only. But there are two sides to life. There is the spiritual side, and there is the physical side. And we have to live according to the law and the light of God's word. Acts chapter 17, verses 27 through 29, Paul was addressing a group here, and he said, "So that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him, although he is not far from each one of us." I want you to know, friend, that God is not far from you, but he is waiting for you to seek him. He is waiting for you to turn to him and to seek him out, and you will find him. And Paul made this statement. He said, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Since then we are God's offspring, we ought not to suppose that deity is like gold or silver or stone or anything constructed or invented." But I want you to focus in on that phrase, "In him we live and move and have our being." Friend, life can only be found in Christ Jesus, the giver of life. And it is living in his laws and his light that we truly find abundant life. You know, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." But Jesus counteracts that. He said, "But I have come that they," who's they? Whoever believes in him, might have life and might have it more abundantly. Friend, God wants you to have an abundant life. He wants you to have an overabundant life full of good things. And he wants to help you through any tragedy and any trouble that you may experience. You know, life isn't always easy, but with Jesus, he'll get you through anything. But we need to live in him. You need to put Christ as the center of your life. For without him, you can do nothing. Even Jesus said that. He said, without him. And then in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 through 21, Paul is talking here. He's addressing the church at Galatia. And he said, "I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Therefore, I do not treat God's gracious gift as something of minor importance and defeat its very purpose. I do not set aside and invalidate and frustrate and nullify the grace of God. For if justification comes through observing the ritual of law, then Christ the Messiah died groundlessly and to no purpose and in vain. But see, friend, we need to kill fleshly desires by denying yourself, and you need to be Christ inside minded. You know, Paul came to this point where it said, it's no longer he that lives. He wasn't living his own life anymore. He wasn't relying on his own instincts or his own intelligence to make his decisions. He was living according to a higher purpose. He was living by a different set of laws. See, friend, you can either live by the law of sin and death, or you can live by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There are two laws that want to govern the life that people live on this earth. And it's your choice as to which one you want to govern you. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it'll produce life and peace. But the law of sin and death, which the devil operates in, it'll bring death, destruction, and devastation. So you don't want to live in that law, but you want to live in the law of God's word. So we need to kill fleshly desires. How do you do that? You deny yourself. You say no to what your flesh wants, and you say yes to what Christ wants. And you have to become Christ inside minded. You have to become more aware of the nature of Christ on the inside of you than what your physical body with its desires tell you. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, it says, if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. For if the Holy Spirit, we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Let us not become vainglorious or self-centered, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating one another, envying and being jealous of one another. Friend, if you want to live the life that Christ came to give you, that Christ gives us access to, you need to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is looking for spiritual fruit. That's the love, joy, peace, the long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, patience, temperance, meekness. Those are the things that he's looking for individuals. That's what we need to excel in. And but he said, you know, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Living by the Spirit is seeking the Spirit's wisdom, his advice, his insight, his knowledge about every decision and action you take. In other words, if you're single and you're looking for the perfect mate, you need to be seeking God's advice and his wisdom and his direction for your life. If you're looking for the career that you were designed for, you're going to have to involve God in that decision. If you don't involve God in that decision, you can end up making the wrong choice. And you can choose something for the wrong reasons, and it's not going to produce the joy or the life that it would produce if you allow Christ to come in and help you. You've got to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, because the Holy Spirit, he works in line with the Word of God. He will never lead you apart from the Word of God. He is in harmony. He is in agreement with the Word of God. He is in agreement with the law and the light that we need to live in. Because he wrote the book. He inspired the men to write down those things. And then the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 19, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to do away with or undo the law or the prophets. You know, Jesus did not come to do away with the law. But he says himself, he says, I have come to fulfill them. He said, for truly I tell you, until the sky and earth pass away and perish, Not one smallest letter, nor one little hook identifying certain Hebrew letters, will pass from the law until all things are accomplished. Whoever then breaks or does away with or relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who practices them and teaches others to do so shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You know, when you live in the law and the light of God's word, you will allow your good works to shine. See, faith without works is dead. In order to produce good godly works, you need faith. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to live according to the word of God. And when you do, you need to let your light so shine. That means you need to speak, act, and think like Jesus did on the earth. And when you speak, act, or think like Jesus did, others are going to see that. And then they're going to glorify God for the things that they see in you. In other words, you could be like God's billboard. You know, the Bible says that we are living epistles. We're known and read of all men. See, God wants to write his law on your heart. He wants it to be living on the inside of you. He just doesn't want a bunch of commandments on stone, but he wants you to love the law. If you don't love the law, you'll never live in his law. And, you know, Jesus summed up all of his commandments in two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the thing that fulfills the law of God. When you walk in love, you're walking in the law and his light. You're living in his law and his light. See, to live means to dwell, to remain, to abide, to hang out. To live means it's a daily process. You know, living in God's law and his light, it requires you to make a daily commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It requires you to talk with him, to have fellowship with him on a daily basis. It's something that you do every day. And Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word will show you the way in which you should go. God's word teaches you how to live in the law. It's your manual before leaving earth. See, God carefully constructed the word of God. What he inspired men to record and to write is for our benefit. All the stories in the Bible are for our examples. We can learn what not to do, and we can also learn what to do on how to have a successful life. There are many examples of how God worked in a believer. He worked in an individual, and he led them to an abundant life. He did it with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Daniel, Joseph, Gideon. There's all kinds of examples of people who applied the principles of God to their life, and they lived a successful, thriving, flourishing life. And they went on and did what God told them to do. That's the most important thing. In order for you to please God, you've got to live by his law or his light. It's not your law, it's his law. And then Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandments is a lamp, and the whole teaching is light, and reproofs of discipline are a way of life. See, the light dispels darkness in your life and makes things clear. When your eyes are enlightened, you understand what you need to do, because God's word enlightens your eyes. And then finally, in John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, the Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. It has never absorbed it or appropriated it, or it is unreceptive to it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came to witness that he might testify to the light, that all men might believe in the light through him. He was not the light himself, but he came that he might bear witness regarding the light. There it was, the true light was then coming into the world, the genuine, perfect, steadfast light that illumines every person. We need to choose to walk in the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And, you know, the light came into the world, but people did not comprehend it. As a matter of fact, people tend to love darkness more than the light. Now, what is the works of darkness? They are evil. Every wrongdoer hates and detests the light, and they'll not come to the light, but they'll shrink from it. And here are some works of darkness. See, in order for you to walk in the light, to live in the light, you've got to practice the truth, because the truth is the light. In order for you to have light in your life, you've got to open the Bible. You have to love the light more than darkness. And repentance brings you to the light. Come clean. Get right with God. Today is your day. And then I want to talk to you, secondly, about glorifying God. You know, we're in a season that we need to choose to glorify God above ourselves and above the fleshly, earthly, physical realm that we in. What does it mean to glorify? It means to magnify God through praising his name and honoring his commandments. You know, Jesus also glorified his Father through his perfect obedience and his sacrificial death on our behalf. And to glorify means to show forth his praise by obedience to his law. See, these two go hand in hand. Living in the light and the law of God's word and glorifying him go hand in hand. See, when we're obedient to the word, we will glorify God. And I want to encourage you to be a glorifier of God. Isaiah 24:15 says this, "Wherefore glorify the Lord in the east, whether in the region of daybreak's lights and fires or in the west. Glorify the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the isles and coasts of the Mediterranean Sea." We're to glorify God everywhere you may be, whether north, south, east, or west, any part of the world, people are called to glorify God. Psalm 22:23 says this, "Wherefore glorify the Lord in the earth, you who fear and worship the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Fear and worship him, all you offspring of Israel." To glorify is to praise and honor the Lord. You know, the shepherds, when they received the message from heaven by the angel, the Bible says that they returned glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen. The shepherds glorified and praised God for what they saw and what they heard. Glorify God for his goodness. This is the perfect time to begin to glorify God. You could focus on the negative things that have happened to you in life, or you could focus on the good things that God is doing and that he wants to do through you. You see, glorifying God is a choice. It's a conscious decision that you make, that you're going to praise God instead of talk about how you feel or what your circumstances are saying or the lack of this or the lack of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 through chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Is God glorified by what you do? Is he glorified by what you say? Does God get glory out of the thoughts that you think? Friend, that's a question that you need to ask yourself. And if they're not, then change. Make that change in your heart. And, you know, God is glorified when we produce fruit. He wants to help you bear fruit, but that's how God is honored and glorified, by the fruit that we produce. It's by allowing his nature to take over our nature. And, you know, Jesus glorified God by completing the work that God sent him to do. And friend, so we can glorify God by living in the law and the light of his word. And we need to praise and magnify God for what he has done. Because God is a good God and he has good things in store for you. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, "You were bought with a price. You were purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made his own. So then honor and bring glory to him in your body." You need to glorify God in your body. How do you do that? You need to present your body a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to Him. And when you do, it's like your spiritual act of worship. It's a reasonable request that God makes. It's something that we can do. So you need to glorify God. Let His praises ring from the rooftops. You know, the angels were so excited to glorify God about the birth of the Savior that was going to take place. Get ready to celebrate His birth by living in the laws of His light and glorifying Him. Friend, let's pray in the name of Jesus. Say this with me. Say, Father, I want to glorify You in all that I do and in all that I say. Lord, renew my mind with Your word. Give me insight and understanding regarding Your word, and help me to walk with You, because He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I want to thank You for listening to this broadcast today. It's been my privilege to come here, as this was sponsored by Victory Christian Fellowship. May God richly bless you in all things.
Amen. Well, we hope that you enjoyed the message today, and you're welcome to join us at our service at any time. Tonight, of course, we have our Wednesday night refreshing, 7 p.m. And then Sunday, we have our Sunday morning worship with a special message this Sunday for helping to get our lost loved ones saved. Scripture verses that can help us to know how to pray for them. The position that we take as Christians on how to lead them to salvation and pray for their salvation. So you don't want to miss that. That is at 10 a.m. this Sunday morning, December 16th. Then, of course, Friday night, as I announced earlier, we have our Friday night prayer. Starts at 6 p.m. until midnight, and that will be here at our church location in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. And this is open to Christians. You can certainly discuss this with your pastor, leaders of your church. Come, let's pray for our community and the region. So wherever you can hear the sound of my voice, you're part of our region. So you can come join us for prayer on that night. We will be having prayer and worship, and that's the setting that we will be having. So we sure hope that you can join us for one of these occasions. Also coming up in January or February, we will be starting our 2008 Alpha program. Many of you have heard us talk of Alpha over the past few months. We will be restarting our program again for a second class, and that will be on Thursday nights. You're welcome to join us. It includes a free meal, a teaching, and group discussion. And of course, we will have childcare available. And you are welcome to come with your entire family. It will be on Thursday nights. So check out our website at www.vcfpa.org. And we have more information on there. You can certainly send us an email to let us know of your interest. Or you may call us at 717-838-2033. That is our church telephone number. And we'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Now, of course, if you have friends and family that do not live in the area and you would like them to hear this sermon or these programs, you're welcome to let them log on to www.vcfpa.org and click on free resources. That is where you will find messages from our services, and also all of our radio programs are online and accessible. You could email them the link, you can certainly make a CD for them, or you could download it to your iPod. So we would like to make those things available to you, and any way that we can get the message out, we are willing to do that. So check out all of these resources, continue to listen to the program, drop us a line, let us know that you are listening and that it is helping your life, and we want to know that we're being a blessing to you. Well, God bless you as you continue to inherit His promises and experience their benefits.